I'm Trudy Kerr, and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I talk to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, politicians, businessmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. My guest today began her career as a marketing manager at an advertising agency, Lighthouse Communications, in 2005. After a range of enviable positions, in 2020, my guest joined forces to launch GRO, a boutique marketing and PR agency. Passionate about communication, whether it's written, audio, or video format, my guest thrives on helping people communicate their story effectively. Last year, this passion prompted my guest to start her own podcast, The Good Chat, which I myself have been a guest on. This mother of two, wife, and entrepreneur always seems to be busy, but has found time to be on The Interviewer. Welcome, Davinia Malia Poulet. How are you?
Thank you so much, Trudy. As everyone says, what an intro. Because everyone, when I listen to you, I'm saying, what an intro, and it's true. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. But also, I will just say, it was an intro that I researched. I looked into you. I've been studying you. And I had a stab at describing you. But how would you describe you?
Very good question. And I think the passionate about communication is something that I've realized I have. I realized late that I have it. I've always kind of had it and thought everyone was passionate about communication, whether it's writing, you know, in audio, as I said, or video. But yes, I think that sums me up. I'm really passionate about communication. I'm passionate about discussing, debating things, you know, and that also spurred me to launch the podcast. I just love analyzing and discussing subjects and getting to know people more and also showcasing different sides of people. You know, I love like the fact that people have different facets, you know, and I love delving into that. And that's what the podcast was all about.
Well, before we go into the podcast and look at that, let's start off with your career, because you do have a stunning resume, but marketing and communications has changed dramatically in the last 17 years since you joined the industry. And since I came to Malta, as a creative director for an agency here. Would you say that we are now up to date with the rest of the world? Because when I came here 17 years ago, it was a bit of a shock. And where do you feel Malta has assets in terms of communication and areas for improvement?
Indeed. I mean, when I was working at an advertising agency 15, 16 years ago, obviously there was no social media, there was no internet marketing, there was nothing of that. But still, as you say, we weren't possibly on par maybe with the international scene, also because of economies of scale, right? So budgets. Unfortunately, it takes the same amount of technical expertise and sort of resources and everything to produce maybe a TV commercial that you'd produce in the UK, but the economies of scale, the budgets of clients would not be those of the UK. So obviously the quality would suffer. However, we have come a long way with expertise and resources, you know, and managing to produce very, very, very good quality productions, whether it's audiovisual or print, whatever it is. So yes, ideally, we have come a long way. I'm nervous.
It's me. It must be the whiskey talking. Yes. You talked about 17 years. We talked about, you just mentioned back there that 17 years ago, there was no social media. When I started in design, because I trained as a graphic designer, worked in graphic design right up until very recently, there wasn't even the internet. And I can remember trying to explain this to graphic design students when I was teaching them for an MCAST and preparing them for the industry. Those foundations of communications, marketing, design, principles are incredibly important. And it doesn't matter how much social media there is, you can't replace those foundations.
I agree. I think the principles all still stand, you know, it's all people, right? We're communicating with people, whether it's through social media, whether it's through traditional media, we're communicating to people. So we always have to keep that in mind. You know, the psychology aspect of marketing is there. The principles are all there. You know, you have to connect with your audience. Now, it might be connecting through Facebook or through Instagram or through TikTok, but you still have to connect. Your message still has to come through. So I think, yes, the principles do still stand. Obviously, the platforms, the channels have changed along the years.
But do you think, because a USP and a unique selling point is a unique selling point. It had its place and its value 20 years ago, and it has its place and its value now. And a demographic, you want to talk to this particular audience. But do you think everybody gets that? Because social media's made it so acceptable to go out there and blast social media with a campaign that is or isn't successful.
Yes, no, definitely. There you really hit the nail on the head. Because unfortunately, because social media is something that sort of is intuitive, and maybe someone who's not a marketer can do. And I'm not saying, listen, you know, don't try and do it. But if you have your business and you're trying to run social media ads and you don't have maybe the experience and expertise, you might be wasting money because, like you're saying, you might be targeting the wrong people. You might be using the wrong objective in your campaign. You might be not using all the tools like retargeting tools, you know, and the right CTA, call to action, the right, as you're saying, the right design, maybe the right, you know, if you have a visual or a video, you might not be using, you know, something that would resonate with your audience.
I could sit here and listen to you for hours because your knowledge and understanding and expertise, but passion for what you do is so clearly visible, and it's really exciting. So tell me, what are the areas of your job that really get you out of bed in the morning? And there must be areas of your job that you just... you want to hit the snooze button. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That client's come up, you got a job to do, and you're like, just one more.
Honestly,
just one more.
The snooze button, it's accounts. As you know, as a business owner, you know, you have to take care of the admin and the accounts, and, you know, it has to be done. And that is something that obviously is kind of mind-numbing. So, but obviously it has to be done. It's a very, very important part of the business. And you said, what part do I prefer, right? The part, I think the creation part. Like, I'm really, like, excited when it comes to like building a strategy, like for a client. That is my sweet spot, a proposal for a client. I just could literally just sit there and create it, and it's really exciting.
You set up Grow with your friend Kira Melly in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
In the middle of the pandemic. So how did that come about? Because that's not normally what people would do in the middle of a pandemic. And how has it worked out?
In fact, she was my client. We became friends like through the partnership. So basically my ex, one of the companies who I used to work for, actually was my first client when I went freelance. And she was the head of marketing there, in that time. So I worked with her on certain projects as kind of, she was my client, and we really hit it off. And then after about a year or so, she left and she started her own freelance business. And we started collaborating. Like, we started collaborating on projects. She ropes me in when she has a big project. I rope her in when I have a big project. We didn't kind of plan to launch Grow in the pandemic. We had actually been kind of working towards it. We officially launched Grow, G-R-O, in 2020, yes, in the midst of the pandemic. We even like employed someone at the time during the pandemic, which was crazy, but we survived.
That's a pandemic success story.
I mean, it's obviously a lot of work pre-pandemic as well. Obviously, there was a lot of groundwork going on pre-pandemic, and, you know, it's...
Yes, but Davinia, a lot of people are digging down during the pandemic, and they're being careful for obvious reasons. And there you are going, okay, now we're going to launch. This is the time. Let's go for it. Which is very unexpected. And I'm thrilled that it turned out to be a success.
Yes.
Now, you talked about that, and you've talked about your passion about marketing. But on top of that, of course, you are also a wife and mother of two. And I'm dumbfounded to work out how you can fit all of this into your schedule.
Even me, I mean, I don't know how I do it. I think it's a matter of when you're in it, you just do it. I think even before I had kids, I used to think I was busy. You know, I think we always adapt to our situation, you know. I was always someone who kind of took on quite a lot. To be honest, I'm learning now that you have to also take care of burning out, and you have to take care of balancing your life, you know, kind of as you go along.
You also have to take care of the people around you as well.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. 100%. I mean, look, when it comes to my family, I am lucky in a way, I guess. How do I explain it? So I was actually, when I had my kids, I was still employed. So I was employed with a big importer. I was employed there as sales and brand manager for 5.5 years. And after the first year, I remember I got pregnant, or second year, I'm not sure exactly the timing, but basically I got pregnant, and I remember I was working obviously full time there, and I remember I went up to my boss and I said I was pregnant, and I asked, I was the first female manager to be pregnant, and I asked my boss, I told him when I come back from maternity leave, I'd like to be on full time but flexible hours, so I want to work till 2 from the office and the rest from home.
And this is pre-pandemic, so this is kind of really not even thought of then.
Yes, yes, this was back in 2013, my daughter was born, 2013.
This is brave!
This was back in 2013. But I always told myself that I would have a balance between spending time with my children and working, because I wanted to be there with my kids. And I believed that I could make the sacrifices to make sure that I'm there. To me, I have absolutely no regrets. I have absolutely no regrets. Absolutely no regrets.
Assuming that your husband as well was perfectly supportive.
That's another thing. My husband on a Friday was a day where, no one could take care of my kids in the morning. So my husband used to take the morning off, and he used to take care of my daughter at the time. And I remember he used to even, for example, he's an architect. So he used to go to a MEPA meeting with her in the sling. And, you know, take her with him as a baby, or he used to, you know, go on site visits with her as a baby. So we made it work. As I said, I should have mentioned him in the beginning, but he helps a lot. You know what I learned being a mom? You become so much more efficient. So basically I realized that maybe the work I used to do between 9 and 6 before I had kids, I literally almost managed to squish it between 9 to 30, because I stopped going for coffees to the kitchen. I stopped speaking to people. I was maybe like looked like a real snob, because colleagues used to come to me and speak to me, and I used to tell them I'm doing something, I'm at the deadline, and maybe it wouldn't be true, but you literally become so efficient in reality. Look, this is why I love technology as well, because now with my business, if I'm with the kids and, for example, they're doing their homework, I'm with on my phone. If I have an email and it's important, I just reply to it while they're, you know what I mean? So it's not like you have to be sitting down at the office to work, you know? It's very different.
Well, now that leads me nicely on to my next question, because technology is both a positive, but it's also invasive.
Yes.
And we have an issue in our society now that we didn't have maybe 20, 25 years ago, whereby most of us are available all the time. You have just talked about an extremely busy schedule. Davinia, when is your me time?
Good question. Look, I really do try and balance the cliche word balance. I mean, I recently started yoga on a Saturday morning. And it's not the stretchy yoga. It's like this really like more like meditation yoga. And it's amazing. It's like amazing. It just really zens me out. And working out. I love working out. And that is my stress reliever as well. I think working out is an amazing way to keep up your mental health as well in terms of stress, you know, when you're very busy. But again, like something always takes over when it comes to the kids. There's always this FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. You're always like, okay, I'm missing out. I'm doing a workout, but I should be cooking for my kids, right? It's not easy, but I think we need to be a happy mom is the best thing for the kids. You know what I mean? Like, and self-fulfilled. Like, I really think that when a woman is self-fulfilled, like if she has a creative talent or whatever it is, like if she's fulfilling that, it doesn't have to make millions, but you know, if she's fulfilling that, you know, I think she's going to be better with her children and her family, you know, rather than someone who maybe is bitter because I gave up all this.
Davinia, you just mentioned it a moment ago in the answer to the question about me time. You mentioned mental health, but COVID must have had an impact on family life and your ambitions as well. I heard that you personally have been touched by the pandemic in your own family at one point and spent time in quarantine. Do you mind me asking, how did that affect you and your family? Let's leave work aside for the time being, because it sounds like work grew anyway.
So look, I see myself as lucky anyway, because in 2 years it happened once. But what I really realized that it's just not normal for us to stay inside. And in those 2 weeks, it's funny because I kind of accepted it in those 2 weeks. I just, you know, went through it and I wasn't even that, you know, bothered about staying home. It's when I got out that I felt really anxious because I felt like I was doing something wrong. Like, okay, should I like go to the hairdresser? Should I? I felt like it was something unnatural to go out because I was so used to that safety net of being inside, of like, oh yeah, you know, if someone invites me, I'm in quarantine. If someone does it, I'm in quarantine. So then suddenly, like after those 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, I'm out again. I have to face life again. So it's like, it's very strange, you know, it's like after I felt like anxious about going out. I mean, then obviously it settles, but also, I mean, even, I think one issue that can be a problem is when you have, like I've had friends who had COVID and they have kids and you have to wear the mask and, you know, if you're next to your kid, you have to wear the mask and wash your hands all the time. You can't use the same bathroom. That, I think that can really cause a lot of anxiety, can trigger maybe even long lasting mental health issues because it's very not normal, you know, not to hug your children or be next to your children. You know, it's all unnatural, right? I think all this is really, really unnatural. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it because I guess I don't know, to be honest. I'm not an expert. I'm not a medical expert, but I think if this quarantine, I think what should have been done would be to provide some more mental health support for people in quarantine. We invested a lot in the physical aspect, right? You get vaccinated, you get this, this, this. But I feel like maybe there should have been more of an investment in the mental aspect of calling people who are in quarantine. Are you okay? Do you need to talk to someone? You know, like maybe a counselor, a psychologist, you know, I mean, you need to, I mean, I really think.
Do you think, just listening to you saying that, what you're describing there, mm-hmm. whether it be on a major or minor mm-hmm, scale, mm-hmm. is post-traumatic
yes,
stress.
Yes, yes.
You walked out and mm-hmm, wondered whether mm-hmm. or not you should be doing what you're doing. That is post-traumatic stress.
And the weird thing is, okay, I have a family. I was with my family at home. Can you imagine people living alone? I think I'm very passionate about mental health because I feel that there's a long way we need to go. Okay, I really think it's nothing to be, you know, like, it's just our health, you know? So I think it's like really important to create awareness and reduce the stigma, you know? If you're feeling something, you know, get help. I think it's really, really important that we create more awareness about it, especially I think now the good thing actually is that a lot of people touched, like maybe people who would have never gone through mental health issues and they went through this loneliness. Maybe now they can maybe empathize with people who are really, you know, maybe struggling from long-term mental health issues before pandemic. So maybe there can be more, because of this, it could be a positive side. I like to look at the positive. The positive side, so it could be like, listen, there's more awareness, you know, and maybe.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you could identify two things that came out of the mm-hmm. pandemic, one good and one bad. You're saying that the good side of the pandemic is that people are more open to talking about mental health.
I think so. And I think people are appreciating nature more. I think people are appreciating going out more, appreciating each other more, appreciating communicating more. And I want to go back to the point where you mentioned about how COVID hit like me as a mom as well, because there was also the homeschooling part of it, which was a nightmare. I mean, it was a nightmare, especially trying to work at the same time. It was just, honestly, I think that was probably tougher than quarantine because it's just not normal for kids. And I noticed my kids, they didn't complain, but again, then when they were in school, they were totally like, I realized how much better their attitude was and all that when they were back in school. My son, I mean, he was 4 when the pandemic started. Now he's 6. Can you imagine? Like, and my daughter was 6. Now she's 8. I mean, these kids, you know, they went through 2 years, you know, formative years of the pandemic. And to be honest, we really try in our household not to complain, not to talk about, like, not to complain about masks, not to complain about anything. So they don't complain at all. But subconsciously, you notice the difference when they're in school and when they're not in school. Like, I mean, my son, I picked him up the first day they were back after the lockdown. And he was like, I said, how was school? Because Mama, it was great with his mask. They were in the mask all day. They're wearing their mask all day and they don't complain. They prefer to being at home. Like, they're so happy to be in school. It's where they should be. I mean, so thank God we didn't have to close schools again.
Kids are great like that, aren't they, though? Because they will adapt to the situation.
Yes. But they feed off your energy as well. So we have to be careful not to talk negatively in front of them because they will feed off that. And I'm thankful for my husband because this is the more relaxed one out of sometimes like too much. So we balance each other out. But I really learned from him in the sense that they really feed off your energy. If you're dancing away at home and not even, like even when we're in quarantine, they didn't even realize in the beginning we're in quarantine. We just didn't go out in the beginning. And then at the end, obviously, we kind of spoke about it. But, you know, I think they really feed off our energy. It's very important to be mindful of that.
You also set up alongside your business during the pandemic, you also set up your podcast. So how and why did that come about? What was the motivation for that?
I think it was just a crazy, crazy moment of mine. To be honest, I've been thinking of this podcast for 2 years, and I'm very passionate about empowering people, and I feel that out there on, now it's improving with you, with other podcasts around, that the content out there is always very negative, very heavy, very, news is just, unfortunately, only bad news gets reported. You know, someone died, someone did this, pandemic, the cases, the hospitalized. It's like negative. You open your social media and it's negative. And I just wanted to create something where very sort of fluffy, where people, and honestly, like, this was before your podcast, and now I'll come to it. Because when you launched your podcast, I said, okay, I don't need to do it because someone's doing it. I swear.
I have Tess to blame for my podcast.
No, but I swear.
She made me do it.
Honestly, because I had interviewed, in fact, Yasmin, she's a wellness expert, and now she's CEO of Shirebrand as well, anyway. But I had interviewed her, and it was all about wanting to, like, put positive role models out there that people can look up to, not just the usual people being interviewed, you know, like, and not just fluffy questions like what you're wearing or what you're doing. You know, I wanted to kind of go into deeper conversations. And I remember you posting that you were starting an interview series. And I messaged you, I remember. I don't know if you remember this, but I messaged you, said, yes, I'm so happy, like, someone
yeah,
like
do,
you.
Yeah, I do remember.
And I remember, and I thought to myself, I sort of lost my mojo. I think about, I don't need to do it anymore. So I lost a bit of inspiration there, because I said, if she's there, I don't need to do it. But then I said, you know what? Then I turned 40. And I don't know, I think most people go through this, that they want to do something, and they feel like when they turn 40, they're like, they lost chance to do it. So I felt like if I don't do it now, like, I'm going to feel bitter and kind of, you know, like, I didn't want to try and do it, you know? And honestly, like, again, I got a bit burnt out in the process, because it's easier. It looks easier than it is, because it's a lot of work. And I did 7 episodes, the first season, you know, a small, you know, season. And hopefully I'll come back with season 2 soon, but I need to kind of recover from season 1 first. But I'm sure it will come, because then the kind of, I get the inspiration. I say, okay, I just get that, like, feeling of inspiration. I just have to do it. You know, it's like my, you know, I love, as I said, I love creating. So it's my, you know, my kind of creative outlet as well at the same time.
Well, it is an utter privilege and opportunity to interview. I mean, you must have felt this, you know this, you're an excellent interviewer, but you do get that opportunity to look into somebody else's life and learn from their experiences. Some experiences that you would only find out about during an interview when somebody is comfortable enough to share them. But what have you learned through your own podcast? What have been the elements that have touched you, the things that made you stop and go, wow?
It's a very, very, very good question. It was quite interesting to see that the stronger people, you know, maybe the more successful people, are not scared to show that they had failures and they are vulnerable, you know, and I really am happy about that, because I really feel that out there, again, I'm very passionate about what we see out there, like, that we see so much perfection, you know, on social media. Everyone's perfect. Everyone has this perfect life with perfect outfits and perfect hair and perfect eyes and everything's perfect, you know. So then listening to someone where they came from, you know, and what they went through, I think it's so important for people to see that, listen, not people didn't just, you know, weren't just born and they were successful. They had to work hard at it, you know, and they are real people. They're not anything more or less than you. You can do what they do, you know, and I think that is what I wanted to come across to people. And I think I hope it did, you know. I think the feedback was quite good.
You just described an incredible irony. The news thrives on bad stories, negativity. And we know this. It's the nature of tabloid. Tabloid will be, even way back in before the internet, the algorithms of us watching
the magazines,
television,
exactly, the magazines, the headlines,
is because of, exactly, because of bad news.
Yes.
But what you also then described is the constant feeding in through social media of perfection, which is filtered. This is individuals filtering out the bad news.
Yes.
And what you then have said is that what you found most refreshing is finding that path in the middle where you acknowledge the good and the bad.
Yes.
And I think that's balance. Yes. Is that not just balance?
That's right.
I get so tired of watching filtered videos or filtered photos and just knowing
Perfection. That's not the truth.
Yes.
And I really feel like the people I mostly want to resonate with, to be honest, is the teens. But I probably don't resonate with them because I'm not their age. But those are the people that I feel really need to see, to listen to your podcast, you know, to listen to real life stories, real success stories, because they are so influenced and so, you know, seeing a lot of perfection out there. And maybe they're not educated enough about, you know, what to filter themselves, you know, from what they see. And unfortunately, like, you can't really blame as well these influencers because, you know, kind of if everyone's doing it and everyone's looking like this, and it's a real horrible kind of vicious cycle, you know, it's just where it is now. It was what Photoshop was on magazines before, right? They used to.
Well, yes and no, but I mean, I agree with you. We always had Photoshop.
Yeah.
However, we didn't have social media. We did not. I count myself as extremely fortunate to have grown up in a time before social media.
Mm-hmm.
Before these pressures.
I'm a bit like 50-50 on that. Because yes, let me tell you why. Maybe because I'm a social media nerd. But there is the negative of social media. But I think when you follow certain maybe people who do have positive messages, like I do think that in my teens, if I followed certain people that maybe I follow now who have obviously are positive role models, I would have learned more. Because as you said, there's a positive and negative side. So I'm not sure about that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure about that. But I just feel I would have wanted to be more educated. Like, I want to educate people now. I mean, it's especially girls. I mean, even boys, I don't want to be kind of, you know, discriminatory or anything. But girls, there's so much pressure, you know, to look perfect. And like you said, the filters, you know, no blemish, no anything. And can you imagine always posting with your filters and then going out to meet people and you look, you know, beautiful because you're you, but you don't look like what you looked like on your stories.
I've met people that don't look anything like their Instagram.
Yes.
It's quite shocking.
It is. But can you imagine teenagers? You know, like young people, like maybe older people can take it. You know, they know what they're doing. But I think when you're young and impressionable, it's really tough. Like, as you said, it's very tough. I know I'm speaking like I'm contradicting myself a bit when it comes to social media, but there is a positive side to it, I think.
No, I completely agree. And I love social media. But I'm glad that I grew up without the pressure of social media.
Sure.
Davinia, please do come back with the good chat because I've loved your show.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely brilliant. And I'm wishing you the massive best for Grow and for your team and for seeing your way growing out of this COVID pandemic. I'm thrilled that you grew through it and are continuing to grow. And thank you so much for being on The Interviewer.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely. I loved it.